the last Sunday after the Epiphany, March 2nd. The Collect and Psalm will be read from the Episcopal Church Book of Common Prayer. The Old Testament, Epistle, and Gospel will be read from the New American Standard Bible. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross, and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. The Old Testament is from Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 to 35. And it came about, when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to approach him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers in the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. Afterward, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel what he had been commanded, the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. So Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. The psalm appointed for the day is Psalm 99. The Lord is king, let the people tremble. He is enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, he is high above all peoples. Let them confess his name, which is great and awesome. He is the Holy One. O mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and fall down before his footstool. He is the Holy One. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the decree that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them indeed. You were a God who forgave them, yet punished them for their evil deeds. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and worship him upon his holy hill. For the Lord our God is the Holy One. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, through chapter 4, verse 2. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and we are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not stare at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in trickery nor distorting the word of God, but by the open proclamation of the truth, commending ourselves to every person's conscience in the sight of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. The Gospel is from Luke chapter 9, verse 28 through 43a. About 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter, John, and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him. And they were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who were standing with him. And as these two men were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here, and let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. But while he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And then a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. On the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him, and a man from the crowd shouted, saying, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, because he is my only son." And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into a convulsion with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves. And I begged your disciples to cast it out, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Now while he was still approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, and healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord. On March 3rd, we celebrate the lives of John and Charles Wesley, priests, read from a great cloud of witnesses. John was the 15th and Charles the 18th, child of Samuel Wesley, rector of Epworth, Lincolnshire, and his wife, Susanna. John was born June 17, 1703, and Charles, December 18, 1707. Of the 19 Wesley siblings, only 10 lived to maturity. Under their mother's tutelage, all of the Wesley children were schooled each day in 6-hour sessions, always begun and concluded with the singing of psalms. Their theological writings and sermons are still widely appreciated, but it is through their hymns, especially those of Charles, who wrote over 6,000 of them, that their religious experience and their Christian faith and life continue to affect the hearts of many. Both Wesleys were educated at Christ Church, Oxford, John later being elected a fellow of Lincoln College, where they gathered a few friends to join a holy club, in strict adherence to the worship and discipline of the prayer book, and were thus given the name Methodists. John was ordained in 1728 and Charles in 1735. Both were profoundly attached to the doctrine and worship of the Church of England, and deeply moved by and critical of the Church's neglect of the poor, and remained so despite abusive opposition to their cause and methods. The two brothers went together to Georgia in 1735, John as a missionary of the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel, and Charles as secretary to James Oglethorpe, the governor. Shortly after their return to England, they each experienced an inner conversion. On May 21, 1738, Pentecost, Charles felt the Spirit of God striving with his spirit, till by degrees he chased away the darkness of unbelief. 3 days later, at a meeting on May 24th in Aldersgate Street in London, with a group of Moravians, during a reading of Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans, John recorded, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone, for salvation, and an assurance was given me that He had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." So the revival was born. The formal separation of the Methodists from the Church of England occurred after the deaths of the two brothers in London, Charles on March 29, 1788, and John on March 2, 1791. But John's uncanonical ordinations of elders for America, bitterly opposed by Charles, doubtless set the basis for it. Let us pray. Lord God, you inspired your servants John and Charles Wesley with burning zeal for the sanctification of souls and endowed them with eloquence in speech and song. Kindle in your church, we entreat you, such fervor that those whose faith has cooled may be warmed, and those who have not known Christ may turn to Him and be saved, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.